Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. To see how FreshBooks can save you time and boost your creativity, go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. So one of the things we have to get comfortable with as creative professionals is tension. We live in constant tension, and I know many of us want to resolve that tension. We want it to go away, but the reality is when we choose to do creative work, which is problem-solving work, which is complex work, which is uncertain work, that means that tension is going to be our ever-present companion. And so it's not enough for us to wish the tension would go away, because it's simply not. Instead, we have to learn to deal with some of these inherent tensions that accompany us as we work every day. And this is especially true if we work within an organization, if we have to collaborate with other people, and if we have to lead other people. And so on today's show, I want to talk about three tensions that creative professionals experience consistently, and some of the ways we can identify them, and maybe some things we can do about them. And if you lead other people, this is really important to understand, because the people on your team or your peers, if maybe you're just a person of influence on the team, your peers are experiencing these tensions, and sometimes we can play into them without even realizing that we're making them worse. So we're going to talk about that today with some ideas from my book, The Accidental Creative, which came out in 2011, but these principles are still relevant today. And also I expounded on this in my new book, Herding Tigers, as well. Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. So as creative pros, we are in the business of turning clever ideas into customer value. That's what we do every day. But the thing is, great ideas and creative take time to cultivate. And running a business doesn't always provide enough time to spend our finite energy on that creative work that we really want to get around to. So that's where FreshBooks can help. FreshBooks is accounting software designed for creative pros just like you and like me. It's so easy to use that you'll save up to 16 hours a month on time-consuming admin, paperwork, all of the things that you probably don't love to do, but you have to do. That means more time to let your creativity flourish. FreshBooks is packed with time-saving features. You can create and send branded invoices in about 30 seconds. You can set up ACH and credit card payments right on your invoices to get paid up to 2 times faster. Snap photos of your receipts from your phone and make managing expenses a million times faster. And when tax time rolls around, export tidy reports for expenses, invoice details, and sales tax to make working with your accountant a breeze, maybe even a pleasure. So allocate more time to creating and let FreshBooks do the boring accounting and bookkeeping. So right now we're offering listeners a 30-day trial of FreshBooks absolutely free. No credit card required. Just go there, sign up, and you can use it. You'll have access to all the features. Just go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, let's talk about the tensions that we experience as creative pros. These are contradictory expectations that we often experience. Creative teams face two conflicting pressures: to produce timely and consistent work, which we have to do, and to produce unique and brilliant work. The pull between these two expectations creates a tension like that from two people pulling on a rope. So when this pull between possibilities and pragmatism becomes too strong, the rope is taut, eliminating the peaks and troughs of productivity required to do our best creative work. We're constantly forced to choose between striving to improve the quality of our work and driving it to completion. This dynamic manifests itself in three fundamental tensions: the time versus value tension, the predictable versus rhythmic tension, and the product versus process tension. So let's talk about each of these one at a time. The time versus value tension. So the traditional model of compensation is based on time, right? A worker exchanges a certain number of hours per week for a fair wage. And if you're a good worker, you work all day long for your paycheck, and then at quitting time, you go home and you forget about your job for the evening. But as a creative worker, you're not really paid for your time, are you? You're paid for the value you create. So just showing up and doing a set of tasks every day doesn't cut it. You're required to perpetually create new value in order to prove your worth to your employer, to your peers, and even to yourself. And though many creative pros have more flexibility than ever regarding how and when they do their work, this flexibility introduces a new kind of performance pressure. Completion anxiety is what I call it. Because we're capable of working at all times and our mind goes with us everywhere, we continue working on projects for as long as we possibly can. We're never really certain when we've done enough. Could I do a little more? You know, could I make that a little better? Yeah, well, probably. So in order to pacify this insecurity, many of us find that we're working even when we're not supposed to be. Just a little more research. Just one more brainstorming session. Just a few more minutes tweaking that proposal. It's a never-ending pursuit of value creation. So in spite of the increasing flexibility that many workplaces are introducing and the growing number of freelancers, many of us are actually working more hours than ever because it's so difficult to draw the line between work time and non-work time. And because we're not just doing repeatable processes, each project we're working on requires something new from us. The pressure to keep the momentum going on our projects can feel a bit like pushing a rock up a very steep hill, right? So we might not stop to sit and catch our breath, but we still have to exert a small amount of effort at all times to keep the rock from rolling back down the hill. So there are a couple of questions that we ask in this time versus value tension that we have to wrestle with in order to produce great work. The first question we ask is, am I proving my worth? This question keeps performance-driven people up at night. We wonder if we could have done more or if we could have, you know, been, if we'll be recognized for the stuff that we've done. We wonder if our career is on track. We think that maybe if we do just one more thing, it's going to push us over the top for the next promotion. And now we have the technology to keep us connected to our work and to our peers at all times. So there's one more thing. There's always one more thing that we could do. We've eliminated the off switch. We are on all the time. So the perpetual inbox obsession, right? It's not an organizational expectation. You know, I think a lot of us live in our inbox constantly. Maybe we're waking up in the middle of the night and checking our email and, you know, just constantly trying to stay on top of things. Often this is fueled by a deep insecurity that something important was going to happen and that we're not going to be connected to it. Am I proving my value? This is the question we're asking. And so because we feel insecure about that, we feel like we have to work all the time. Now listen, while there are many career-related factors that drive that insecurity, the drive to produce goes beyond the desire to be a good employee. We want to know that we're doing work that matters. We want to know that if we were to disappear tomorrow, someone would notice. So in a sense, we feel like our space in the world is created as we create value. Is that unhealthy? Probably. But it's still true. It's the way that it feels. And so we have to wrestle with, am I doing what Scott Belsky calls insecurity work? Am I just cranking out work because it, you know, it makes me feel good, even if it's not really work that's producing value? This is what this time versus value tension creates in us. A second question we ask is, what kind of value should I produce? Right? What should I do next? You know, we feel like we have to make it up as we go. Many of us are making it up as we go. Even though we have a general sense of direction, we're constantly asking, what should I do next? What's my next best task? So even the work that we do often is undefined for us. You know, we have to make certain that we are making the right decisions as we go. And this is just a tension that we feel. We're never going to be certain, but we still have to move forward with confidence, even when we're uncertain. It's just something that we experience. And then another question that we ask in this time versus value tension is, who is responsible for what? So collaboration gives you the opportunity to accomplish more than you could alone, but it also introduces new complexity into the work. So it can be very difficult to fully engage when you aren't certain how to know when the work is finished. I mean, when the main indicator of your performance is the amount of value you create, it's easy to feel like the work is never done. So here's my challenge for you. I just encourage you to think about this. When you think about the time versus value tension, I want you to think about how you're measuring your work. How are you measuring your effectiveness? You need to make certain that you're setting marks, concrete marks in your life for what success looks like. Because if you don't, you will just keep working and working and working and working until you run out of time. And that is not a good way to measure your work, but that's where many of us live as creative pros. All right, the second tension is what I call the predictable versus rhythmic tension. By the way, all of this, I'm sort of skipping through my book, The Accidental Creative. This is all spelled out in chapter 2 of The Accidental Creative in much more detail. So if you want to check that out, you can definitely do that. So in the predictable versus rhythmic tension, in a smaller organization, each worker wears multiple hats. And in order to get through the day, you know, and get things done, you have to make sure that you're positioned to be able to get it done, regardless of what that means for you. I mean, many times you're doing things that aren't even in your job description. But as the organization grows, some degree of predictability becomes necessary. So you have to organize. You have to have a hierarchy. You have to, you know, organize yourself into functions and specialize. Well, the problem is, as you specialize, things become more predictable. And as things become more predictable, they become more measurable. And as they become more measurable, what do organizations do? They try to measure, because that's how you keep a large organization on the tracks. You keep it from going out of business, as you measure productivity. The problem is that creative organizations are really difficult to measure. Why? Because, you know, unlike in an organization where you're basically cranking out the same product all the time, and you can just sort of measure, did we crank out more product this quarter than we did last quarter? With creative work, there's an ebb and a flow. There's an unpredictability about it. You don't know when the great idea is going to come. You don't know when the value is truly going to be created. So just putting more time into something or putting more resources into it, you could throw money at something, but that doesn't mean it's going to be better. And you can just throw time at it, but it doesn't mean you're going to have that brilliant insight when you need it. So we have a push towards systemized and predictable creativity, and it makes us feel like we're performing like machines. You know, we have a process, which we need process, but that process sometimes feels like a prediction. You know, like, okay, we're going to kick off the project on Monday, on Tuesday, we're going to talk about it on Wednesday. The brilliant idea is going to emerge. On Thursday, we're going to, you know, work on it. And on Friday, we're going to present it. I mean, that's kind of how it feels to us. How do we know the brilliant idea is going to come on Wednesday? We don't know that, but we have to, because we have to have some predictability in our process. So a highly productive creative process isn't at all predictable. And, you know, it's directly opposed to this idea of we're going to just organize around when this brilliant idea is going to emerge. And yet we still have to have that kind of predictability. So this is where we live, the predictable versus rhythmic tension. We try to organize productivity, but in so doing, we sometimes squeeze the life out of what we're doing. Because of the predictable versus rhythmic tension, expectations continue to rise, because we can continue to try to squeeze more and more and more out of the creative pros on our teams. And so in the effort to make productivity predictable to the organization, our current work is benchmarked against our previous work. Well, this isn't quite as good as what you did last week. Can you do something better? Well, yeah, but last week I spent 90 hours working on that project. So as a result, a lot of times we begin to just kind of plug along. We begin to just kind of hold a little bit back, because we don't know what's going to be expected of us tomorrow. So my challenge for you as it relates to this predictable versus rhythmic tension is, do you know what's expected of you right now? Do you know what your top three priorities are? Do you know what expectations you have of the organization? Do you feel like you're being treated like a machine? If so, how can you build personal rhythms into your life to embrace the ebb and flow of creativity? That's what this whole book, The Axiom Creative, is about. It's about building rhythms in the areas of focus, relationships, energy, stimuli, hours, to help you to embrace the natural ebb and flow of the creative process. That's really what this is all about. Okay, so I just encourage you to consider, where am I living with this predictable versus rhythmic tension? Where am I battling against process? Where am I bumping up against the edges of our constrictive process organizationally? And what do I need to do about that in order to ensure that I have the space and the energy I need to be able to do my best work? The third tension we're going to cover is the product versus process tension. So the organization is primarily concerned with the finished product, but 99% of what we do is process. In fact, many creative jobs are fundamentally oriented around perpetuating processes rather than generating products. There are rarely times when we can hold something in our hands at the end of the day and say, if I hadn't been here, this wouldn't exist, right? Because we're often just tweaking and modifying, and we're one part of a much bigger process to get to the end product. And also, creative work is often judged subjectively. and by someone other than us. So as a result, being able to gauge in the middle of the process whether something's working and whether it'll please the judge, whoever's going to judge our work, can be really difficult. So it's to be expected because that's what we're being paid for. We are professionals. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we aren't allowing this product versus process tension to rob us of our engagement. We have to fall in love with the process, not just the end product of our work. And when, as leaders, when we only judge the end product and we don't judge the process, we are doing a tremendous disservice to our team. And we're not going to keep talented people around for very long. So what we have to do is we have to ask questions. If we don't, let's say that somebody presents something to you and you don't really like it. It's not really something that you think really meshes with the overall strategy. Instead of saying, this doesn't work, it's not meshing with the strategy, say, hey, this is really interesting. Let's talk about how you got to this place. Let's talk about your process. Tell me about some of the decisions that you made along the way to get you here. And if you back up far enough in the process and you get them talking about their decision-making, more often than not, you can find the point where they made a decision that diverged from the way that you probably would have thought about it. And you can say, well, let me ask you this. What if instead of at this point, what if instead of going that direction, what if you went a different direction? How might that play out for you? And you can navigate them and explain to them how to get to where you want them to be without saying, this isn't working for me, do it this way. If you do that, people will shut up and they'll stop, you know, engaging, they'll stop using their autonomous decision-making processes. And instead, they'll just say, tell me what you want me to do, which is endemic in a lot of creative organizations, right? Just tell me what you want me to do. So this is where the product versus process tension ultimately leads when it's not handled well. When we're only concerned with the end product and we're not getting into the process as we're examining the work, then often people shut up, they become insecure, and they just say, tell me what to do because I don't want to go through a whole process and then have to redo it because I didn't get it right. And you're just going to tell me what to do anyway, right? So this is a tension that we experience. So if you find yourself experiencing this product versus process tension, I encourage you to have a conversation with your manager and say, hey, can we talk about process versus just talking about the product, the end product? I feel like you're not really understanding my thought process here. If you're a leader, a manager of an organization, don't just jump to this isn't working, do it this way. Instead, say, help me understand how you got here. That's how you offer feedback to creative pros, especially younger creative pros. Help me understand how you got here. Let's talk about your thought process. Let's talk about the decisions that you made, the hundreds of little decisions you had to make to get to this point. If you do that, you're honoring them, you're honoring the process, you're honoring the natural tension between process and product, and you're also going to help your team learn how to make better decisions on their own instead of you having to swoop in and make it right at the end. That's not what is required of you if you want to develop a team that's producing brilliant work consistently. Okay, so these are the three tensions that we experience. I'm sure that you probably resonate with some of them, if not all of them, because they're just baked into the creative process. I encourage you to think about where you might be experiencing these tensions and consider how you might be able to engage differently moving forward, not to try to mitigate the tension, but instead to try to embrace the tension and build practices into your life to deal with them because they're not going away. All right. Hey, would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com/contact. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.